Welcome back to THOP, the half hour of power with Beastchild, and today is Monday, so you get to start your week off with a nice recap of this past weekend's games in the NFL. Let's get right to it with Beastchild and the NFL Review Show. Get into the recap of all the hard-hitting action this weekend, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com. Add beastchild on Skype, BEASTCHILD09 on Skype. Or add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or, of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Now let's get right into the gridiron with the recap from this past weekend's games. What's going on, everybody? Beastchild back in the house, coming at you with THOP. You heard it, and now let's get to it. Week 8 in the books, and there were some interesting games, there were some bad games. For me, there were four games that were bad games, because, I picked them wrong. But Hobbs and Lappy Time both went 12-1 this season. Props to you guys. Let's go right into the first game. It's the Philadelphia Eagles at the Minnesota Vikings. Eagles coming into the game at 2-4. I don't know, a bit of a desperation game for them. The Vikings as well there at 2-4. So both teams trying to looking for that victory, and let's see what would happen. Well, the first quarter, Vincente Schialpo gets a 9-yard touchdown catch from Kelly Holcomb. Kelly Holcomb playing in place of the injured Tavares Jackson, but later in the game he would get injured, and Brooks Bollinger would come in to finish out the game for him. Both quarterbacks completed 7 passes, and both of them threw for under 100 yards, so not too good a day for them. And after that touchdown, it was all Eagles until 3 Ryan Longwell field goals, and that was the game. So the Eagles won that game. It was 23-16. Brian Westbrook had a touchdown run. He had 2, actually. David Akers kicked, 3 field goals? And he did miss one, so that's unfortunate. 2 weeks in a row that David Akers misses one. But 23-16, the final score. Kevin Curtis looking good through the air, 76 yards, as did Ronnie Brown. He showed up to this game, 105 yards for him through the air. Brian Westbrook, 46 on the ground, a touchdown, and a long of 9. So he had a touchdown rushing and a touchdown receiving. On the other side, Adrian Peterson didn't do too much. He did get 20 carries. I like to see that. Brad Childress giving him the ball only 70 yards on those, including a 17-yarder. So, McNabb, 333 through the air, a touchdown. Brooks Bollinger and Kelly Holcomb, not too much. Now, we go to London. New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins, the first game played in Europe, the first NFL game at Wembley Stadium. Well, it was an ugly game. I mean, I didn't expect too much coming in with the Giants and the Dolphins. I expected defensive lines to be fierce. I expected a bit of offense, I don't know, maybe a little kickstart in the beginning, and I thought that the Giants would come out on top and the Dolphins would remain winless. But first half, the Giants go up 13-0, and they would not score in the second half. The Dolphins scored 10 points in the second half and lose 13-10. So first half, Giants scored 13 points, and Dolphins did nothing. Second half, Giants took the hour and a half off, you know, they took a nap. And the Dolphins scored 10 points. It wasn't enough in the end. The Giants win 13-10. And also a lot of fumbles. It was a really raining game. The rain really coming down. 7 fumbles total. 3 for the Giants and 4 for the Miami Dolphins. And, one of them was recovered and 2 of them. So 3 pickups were made on those fumbles, and the touchdowns went to Eli Manning on a rush to the outside, and the other touchdown went to Tegan Jr., his first of his career. His only reception in the game, it went for 21 yards and a touch. So the Giants and Dolphins will now get a week off for the bye to readjust to the time change. And once again, that game, 13-10, Giants victory, Miami Dolphins remain winless going into the bye week. So, now we go to Ohio, the battle of the Ohio teams, the Bengals, the Steelers, looking for, who's really going to come out on top in this game. Would the Cincinnati Bengals come in and play some defense? They are a great home team, I must admit, but would they come in and play some defense? Would Carson Palmer turn on the Jets, or would the Steelers just run over them like they have been this whole season at 4-2? Well, it started off with a Shane Graham field goal and a Hines Ward touchdown catch, another Hines Ward touchdown catch, Shane Graham field goal, and a Willie Parker touchdown run. 21-6, the halftime score, and, you know, this one looks like they're running away with it. But wait, third quarter, TJ Houshmandzadeh gets in the end zone, and Carson Palmer would finish the day with 2 of 5 through the air, 81 yards for TJ Houshmandzadeh, 51 yards for Chad Johnson, a long of 16, and I must admit, that was a beautiful catch by Chad Johnson on the outside, but the final score, 24-13, Pittsburgh finished the game on top. The only interception in this game, Ben Roethlisberger, and it went to Death O'Neal. That didn't really do much for the Bengals. It wasn't enough, and I will tell you this, if the Bengals can't start playing defense at full throat, they are not going to do very much. Granted, they're out. Rudy Johnson did not play in this game, but let's be honest. You have a good offense. That's not the problem. You got to get that defense in place, and right now at 2-5, it's not looking bright for them. Ahead, going into week 9 and so on, if they can't play defense, even if they're at home or on the road, it doesn't matter. Now let's go to Chicago. Battle of the AFC North. The second battle, Lions won the first meeting between these two teams. Now the game is in Soldier Field. Would Brian Griese bring his team to play? The answer to that, of course, is no. He ended the game with 4 interceptions, only 2 touchdowns in this game, 1 by each team. Kevin Jones on a 4-yard touchdown run, and the rookie out of Miami U, Greg Olsen, on a 20-yard reception. The rest was Jason Hansen field goals. He went 3 for 4 on the day. One of them he missed off the post, a long of 52. Devin Hester did come to this game. He had a nice punt return. He almost broke it loose. He had a 39-yarder, and that would have put them in great position. But in the end, Brian Griese driving couldn't get them in the end zone. He threw a pick in the red zone. He threw 4 picks, 3 of them in the end zone. So that is not what you want to look for in your quarterback. You know, red zone, that's where you got to get the points. I don't care if you can't get in the end zone. At the very least, you have to come out with points. 3 picks in the end zone, right? Okay, you don't do that, you get 3 more field goals, 9 more points. All of a sudden, that's a tie ball game. That's what happened to the Lions. John Kitten has 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I'm fine with that because they won the game 16-7 on the road. Lions move to 5-2, and they take this series. They swept them this year, and which puts the Bears at 3-5. So, one good, one bad team here. And now let's move to the next game. Indianapolis, Carolina, battle of the AFC South. In this game, Carolina would come out with a perfect first drive. Vinny Testaverde starting the game. He would get the job done. Deshaun Foster would then run the ball in for 3 yards. And that would give them a 7-0 lead. But unfortunately for the Panthers, they're playing against the Colts. And I'll tell you this, it's not the Colts we saw last year. Many of you may be saying, what are you talking about? They're really good. I know they're good. Their defense is really good. They held Panthers to 7 points in this game. Yeah, they scored on the first drive, and then they were shut out the rest of the game. Colts 31, Panthers 7, the final score. Adam Vinatieri kicks a field goal in the first quarter. Then Joseph Addai runs one in. Joseph Addai runs another one in off of a little shovel pass. Reggie Wayne, a 59-yard bomb. He had 2 beautiful receptions, one of them off a helmet, which he somehow stayed in bounds with. And then Joseph Addai gets another plunge. 3 touchdowns for Joseph Addai, 1 technically through the air. And obviously Peyton Manning throwing for 2 touchdowns. One of them to Reggie Wayne, one of them to Joseph Addai. Kenton Keith showed up for this game. He had 33 yards. Joseph Addai finished with 100 yards, a crisp century. 2 touchdowns and 1 touchdown for Reggie Wayne. 168 through the air for Reggie Wayne, a good day for him. On the other side, David Carr came in, He had 103 through the air, no touchdowns, no picks. Vinny Testaverde did throw one interception. I believe that went to TJ Jennings, so that is good for him. Colts finish. They stay undefeated. The battle of the undefeateds next week in Indianapolis, the 7-0 Colts and the 8-0 Patriots. Now let's go to St. Louis in what would be an interesting game because the St. Louis Rams getting their starters back. Mark Bolger, Steven Jackson, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, everyone in for this game. And on the other side, Derek Anderson. Yes, this may be a weird stat, but Derek Anderson, second in the league in touchdown passes. Yes, of course, Tom Brady first with 30, but Derek Anderson threw 3 touchdowns in this game and 248 through the air. He is now second in the NFL. Jamal Lewis, 17 yards on the ground, or 17 carries, 61 total yards, a long of 12, and he was the leader in rushing. Braylon Edwards, 117 through the air, 2 touchdowns, and Jojo Vicious also had 76. Kellen Winslow caught the other touchdown pass. Final score, Browns 27, Rams 20, Torrey Holt 110 and a touch. Steven Jackson, only 41 yards on 8 carries, he had a touchdown. Brian Leonard got more carries than he did, but only came up with 33 yards. That's an average of about 2 per carry. So, Gus Frat came in a little bit, threw 3 passes. One of them was completed for 12 yards, and that was the ball game. They actually went up 14-0, the Rams did, but then were held to only a 2 more field goals in the rest of the game. And once again, the Browns win on the road 27-20. Now let's go to the next team, the Tennessee Titans. And on this paper, it says that they play against the Oakland Raiders. I'll have to verify that. Hold on. Okay. So the Raiders are listed here. I guess that they did try to play the Titans. But the Titans win this game 13-9. The Raiders do absolutely nothing in this game. Oh, wait. Dante Culpepper threw a pick. Okay. Never mind that. Disregard that last comment. But on the ground, 12 carries for Lamont Jordan, 12 for Justin Fargus, 61 yards for Justin Fargus, and only 16 for Lamont Jordan, and that was that pretty much sums up the game right there. I mean, the Raiders could not get anything going on offense. Dante Culpepper has 4 fumbles. He recovers one of them, but the other two are picked up by the Titans. So the Titans, Vince Young, 42 yards through the air, but it doesn't matter because 133 on the ground for Lindell White and 48 for the rookie Chris Henry. Vince Young also chipped in with 11 yards on 7 carries. Justin Gage led the team with 19 receiving yards. Not too big a stat there, but this game was boring. I'll tell you this, I fell asleep on it. Woke up, my face in the popcorn, but the final score 13-9. Trust me, if you didn't see this game, you didn't miss much. A lot like the Raiders season, if I may. 2-5 Raiders, 5-2 Titans, all of a sudden looking like a very good team in the AFC, competing with the Indianapolis Colts. But we'll get to that later. Here is the most interesting game of the week, maybe the second most, other than the Monday Nighter, which I will get to because I'm recording this show on a Tuesday, because that's when I would have time to do so. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming in. The Battle of Florida teams. Jacksonville didn't have to travel too far for this Buccaneers team. Quinn Gray starts the game and finishes it with 100 yards and a touchdown. No interceptions for him, but Jeff Garcia, 276 through the air, a touchdown, and yes, 3 interceptions. He was one of only 2 quarterbacks in the NFL with no interceptions this season. Obviously, the other one on the other bench, David Garrard, did not play, but Jeff Garcia throws 3 picks in this game, and that should pretty much tell you what happened. The final score, 24-23, a very good game. Back and forth between the Jaguars and the Bucks. Bucks were up by 6. Jacksonville drives down. Quinn Gray, he finds the Matt Jones, the wide receiver, a beautiful catch, one-handed in the end zone. And I don't know that I've seen a better catch like that in a clutch situation. Another catch went to Aaron Glenn, who intercepted Jeff Garcia and took the ball 28 yards for the pick 6. And the rushing touchdown went to LeBrandon Tofield, a 1-yard run. But Jeff Garcia did do something good in this game. He did throw a pass to his teammate. That teammate would be Joey Galloway. 58 yards later, he is in the end zone, touchdown, but it would not be enough. Even when Michael Bennett ran it in, they would still lose the game. 24-23 the final score, Jacksonville Jaguars to 5-2, Buccaneers to 4-4, 500 team. It's still an improvement from last year. It's still how they did, and So, yeah, I mean, basically, the key stat in this game, Jeff Garcia with 3 interceptions and only 1 touchdown. He threw the ball 41 times. Quinn Gray, on the other hand, only threw 16 passes, completed 7 of them. But it didn't matter because they won the game. So earlier in the week, we had two teams playing road games. It was the Giants and the Miami Dolphins playing in London, both of them road teams. Then we had both teams playing home games, I guess you could say, with Tampa Bay and Jacksonville playing both, you know, relatively in the same place. And now we had a potential for 2 road teams again, Chargers and the Texans, with the fires down in South California. But the Chargers were able to play at Qualcomm Stadium, and boy, did they take advantage of it. Phillip Rivers, 3 touchdowns through the air, and the only guy on the San Diego Chargers to score a touchdown not by the name of Antonio was the newest one, Chris Chambers. And when I say that, yes, Antonio Gates, of course, he did catch 2. He had 92 yards on the day. But Antonio Cromartie, definitely my pick for defensive player of the week, 70-yard interception return off of the ill-advised Sage Rosenfeld's pass. He almost stumbles at, what was it, something like the 40-yard line of his own over on the right sideline. Then he reverses field, cuts down to the left sideline, wide open, gets a block on the quarterback, and he is gone into the end zone, 70-yard touchdown. But that was his second touchdown of the day. Before that, on the Texans punting, what was it, it was either their second or third possession, gets the ball, punter calls for it, way over his head, the ball bounces around in the end zone, he overruns it, Cromartie, the only guy there, picks it up, touchdown, Chargers win this game 35-10, and they move to 4-3, all of a sudden Chargers looking like the 06 Chargers that we saw last year, get the best record in the NFL. The Texans, on the other hand, 3-5, looked like a pretty good team start at the beginning of the season, and then they had some injury troubles. I don't know. Matt Schaub came in. He had 11 for 18, but Sage Rosenfeld came in to replace him. 17 for 27 for Sage. Both quarterbacks threw 2 interceptions. The rest doesn't really matter. LT, 90 yards on the ground. Good day for him. And Antonio Gates led the team with 92 yards. And the newest Charger, Chris Chambers, 35 yards. And yes, 1 touchdown. And that was on a 21-yard pass. A good day for the San Diego Chargers. Now let's move to New York, where another battle of the two home teams. This is very interesting now that I bring this up. Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. Of course, for those of you geographically challenged listeners out there, Buffalo is in New York. It's Buffalo, New York. And the New York Jets, playing in the Meadowlands. The Jets at 1-6, the Buffalo Bills at 2-4. Both teams, you know, at the bottom of their division, kind of competing for, you know, pride at this point, because their playoff hopes are pretty much down the drain. Trent Edwards would start this game, but later be replaced by J.P. Losman because of an injury. And yes, the Jets fan did have something to cheer about. Although they only scored 3 points in the first half, they did get to see Kellen Clemens replace Chad Pennington. Yeah. Then he threw 2 picks. Yeah, it's okay. But those 3 points that they scored in the first half, 3-3, the halftime score, that would be it, because in the fourth quarter, Ryan Liddell would kick a 40-yarder, but then J.P. Losman comes in, and the classic matchup that we saw last year, Losman to Evans. Now, it wasn't a bomb of a pass, maybe a 20-yard pass, but he turns, he breaks through the 2 tackles, and boom, he's gone, 85-yard touchdown from J.P. To Lee, and that put the game away, 13-3 the final score. And trust me, if you missed this game, you didn't miss much, because the Bills come out on top, and the Jets go to 1-7, an abysmal team, I must say. I don't even remember what their victory was, but I don't think anybody really does, and I don't think anybody really cares. Jets team not looking good. Mangini, not the man genius anymore, if you ask me. But that's that. Now let's move to the last 3 games. Now, originally we had the New England Washington game as a Sunday nighter, but it was moved to the 4:15 game, so we'll go to that one right now. Oh, and by the way, any of you guys that were wondering why that game was moved to an earlier time, because the World Series Red Sox and Rockies game, I believe it was, 4 or 5, was played at that time on Fox, and they didn't want to have it compete, because obviously Week 8 football would beat Game 4 of the World Series. And in case you missed it, the Red Sox won, and they're now world champions. But speaking of a Boston sports team, you know, tell me if a Boston sports fans have anything to cheer about, because their team just won the World Series. Their football team is now 8-0 with a 52-7 victory. I was checking through the scores, and I was saying, wait, why are they showing me a high school football score on ESPN? And I looked at the team names, Patriots Redskins. Wow, that sounds familiar. Oh my God, it's an NFL football game. Yes, 52-7. That's like what I see here at my high school on homecoming, playing against, you know, the crappy the crappy local high school, playing against them, and they just dominate. But Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, puts him at 30 on the season, 306 through the air, and Lawrence Maroney running the ball 75 yards on the ground. Matt Castle, the backup, comes in. He goes 2 for 3 for 28 yards, the backup quarterback, that is. He even runs one in. Now, I'll go into the specifics of what people might say about running up the score, because, granted, they went for it on fourth down, and in the fourth quarter, when they're up 45-0, the Patriots go for it on a pass, and they get it. They go for the touchdowns, fake spike, okay, all that good stuff. I'll get into my opinion on that in the Topics and Opinions show coming up in maybe 20 minutes. You'll see it posted with this show, Topics and Opinions for Week 8, check that out. But final score, Patriots 52, Redskins 7, and what more can you say? The first 2 drives, no Randy Moss passes, then they hit Randy Moss, and he would finish the day with 47 yards, including a 35-yarder, which gave him the touchdown. Wes Welker leads the team again, 89 yards, and the touch, 19 was his long. Kevin Falk, yes, he had 57 receiving yards, and Lawrence Maroney back in the game, as I said earlier, 75 yards on the ground. What about the Redskins? How did they score the touchdown? It's a miracle. I must say it was in the fourth quarter, garbage time, and I was about to say that the stadium was empty by then, but no, there wasn't, because the Patriots fans know that Bill Belichick will keep scoring, even if they're up by that much. Chris Cooley did catch a 15-yarder at the end of the game. Those of you fantasy guys, you know, saying thank God there for that. Finally got on the scoreboard. Clinton Portis, 54. Randall L., 43. That would be receiving. Clinton Portis only had 27 on the ground. Randall L. did throw an incomplete pass, so props to him. Jason Campbell, 21 for 36. 197, a touchdown, and a pick. And that is that. Tom Brady didn't throw any interceptions. Jason Campbell threw one. That one, of course, went to Asante Samuel. And basically, the deal was sealed when the Patriots stepped on the field, and I cannot wait for the Patriots Colts game. I don't care what anyone says. There is no amount of hype or talk about this game that will be overhype. I'll tell you right now. The Colts playing very good defense, very good. The Patriots, as we know, you know, they already had a good defense, and they're just giving touchdowns to everybody. They're really like playing in a video game. You just try to get all your players into the end zone with a touchdown so their stats go up. But literally, the Patriots 52-7, and it wasn't even a shootout. So that is that. Niners Saints. Niners riddled by injuries. Finally get Alex Smith back at full strength. Finally get Vernon Davis back. Frank Gore playing. And what do they do? Well, they did put up 10 points, amazingly. It was in the second half. They didn't score in the first half. And it was when there was, 4 minutes left. They're down 31-3. And they finally get in the end zone. Vernon Davis getting the touchdown pass from Alex Smith. 31-10, the final score. And the Saints, they had some fun. Marcus Colson got a 17-yarder with a jump into the end zone. Orlando Mari kicked the 26-yarder. Terrence Copper, 2-yard touchdown pass. Marcus Colson, 3-yard touchdown catch. And Marcus Colson, another 15-yard catch. So, 31-10, the final score there. And it was what I expected, I must say. Ricky C. brought up that, don't tell anybody that I heard it from him, but this might have been a good lock of the week. My lock of the week was the New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins. It ended up being a close game, but let's be honest, it wasn't close at all. 3-4 for the Saints, and the Niners 2-5. So the Saints start off 0-4. All of a sudden, they win 3 games in a row, looking at 500. Hey, call me crazy, but let me get the Saints schedule in front of me. Okay, next week they have Jacksonville, tough game there. St. Louis, okay, that's a win. Houston, they're having trouble. Carolina, that's a push. Tampa Bay, that's going to be a good game. Atlanta, that's a victory. Arizona, Philadelphia, I don't know the way they've been playing. And Chicago at the end. I don't know, the Saints, you know, they lose, what, two or three more games? Then that puts them at 6 losses, 10-6 all of a sudden. The Saints turning it around. I mean, that was bad that they lost to Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, and Carolina. But they can string together a nice little run here. Saints could be in the playoffs. Let's use in their division. The Panthers, the Buccaneers. So, a couple good teams. But if they, I'm just saying, it's not out of the question. And if they really want it, they can have it. So that's that. Now, let's take some time to talk about the Monday Night Football game. In case you were wondering, yes, there was a football game last night. It was Monday night, and let me tell you, was it a ball game? The Denver Broncos and the Green Bay Packers! Broncos coming in. They are 3-3, 500. Packers coming in at 5-1, and who knows? Broncos, you never really know what can happen with them. They've won all three games off the foot of Jason Elam on last-minute field goals. And the Packers, well, they have one loss, and it came against the Denver, against the Chicago Bears on Monday night. So, let's see what would happen. It would start off, first drive for Tony Scheffler. He gets a 5-yard touchdown reception from Jay Cutler, and all of a sudden, the Broncos on the board. By the way, I picked the Broncos, and I think, what was it, 3/4 of the TWHOP pick'em picked the Packers in this game, so I am, you know, kind of sweating a lot for this game, if I may. But Tony Scheffler, they take a 7-0 lead. Brett Favre steps out on the field, you know, kind of blowing some of that dirt off his shoulder, you know. Nice little jog onto the field. Hey, what's up, you guys? Play action. Hey, James Jones, what's up? Peace! 79 yards later, he is in the end zone. And 7-7 ball game for the Packers and the Broncos. You should have heard the guy on the radio. He was going crazy. So now we go to the second quarter. Two Mason Crosby field goals puts the score at 13-7, halftime score. In no way are the Broncos out of this game. They're playing pretty well. Jay Cutler would finish the game 21 for 34, 264 through the air, a touchdown, no picks. And Brett Favre would finish the day with 21 for 27, 331 through the air, and two touchdowns. But let's see what would happen in this game. Jason Elam kicks a field goal in the third quarter. Now the score is 13-10, and the Broncos are down by 3. And let's just fast forward. Okay, so now he hits Brandon Stokley with an 8-yard catch. Hits Brandon Stokley with another 7-yard catch, incomplete. Then he hits Brandon Marshall. That was a huge play. He dropped back, hit Brandon Marshall right running across the middle. Marshall breaks a tackle somehow. Gets 35 yards out of the play. Okay, then we fast forward a little more. Okay, now there's 22 seconds left on the clock. They've traveled 89 yards, and Jay Cutler goes for a QB draw up the middle on 3rd-and-1, and he doesn't get it. It's a no gain. So now Jason Elam runs out on the field for a 21-yard field goal, and they hit it as time expires with no way to stop the clock, and now we go to overtime. And Brett Favre wins the coin toss, goes out on the field, drops back, play action. Hey, Greg Jennings, peace! And he bombs it to Greg Jennings. The guy's running a 40 down the field, burns Dre Bly 82 yards later. Touchdown, ball game over, peace! 19-13, the final score. The Green Bay Packers win on the road in Denver, a tough place to play, but it's Monday night, and it's Brett Favre. So with that, thank you for listening. I have been Beast Child, October 30th. Peace! Thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of power with Beast Child. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and if you want to talk back to me, send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can visit the almighty website, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Remember, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell your enemies. The TWHOP, the greatest invention since the Apple. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. Peace out! halfhourofpower.googlepages.com.